Good to see all of you this morning. I'm glad you're here. The Father's glad you're here. And I do want to extend a welcome to all of our guests. We are glad you're here, and the Lord is especially glad you're here. We hope you will stick around after services and let us get to know you a bit better, and you get to know us just a bit better as well. A few things to put you in mind of. One's a reminder. We have all the laundry from Family Promise. It's the final leg of the journey when it comes to that ministry, whenever we host it. So it's all in the family room. Go back there, grab a sack, and wash some of the linens for us as part of your Christian service. Next Sunday is Traveler's Motel. And we're going to be heading out there, hosting worship service and a meal on site. So if you'd like to be a part of that, talk with me, talk with Buddy. We'll get you plugged in to that very good ministry. And then I also want to direct your attention to the inside page of the bulletin. If you haven't already noticed, we are looking for donations. And some of those go to folks at Travelers, but some of it's going to go to, we host a shower shuttle every Thursday here on site. And the folks that come, they get a hot shower, but they also get a warm meal. And we also want to bless them with some vital things as well. The shower shuttle provides a number of things, but we're going to provide some stuff as well. So you see the donations there, and if you could bring that in, bring those things in, donate those. I believe there are containers to collect those things. Is that right, buddy? In the gray containers in the lobby here. So be sure and, if you can, donate some of those things. Okay, turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. And I want to read several verses from this chapter, and then several verses from the next chapter, chapter 9, as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's begin in verse 1, where Paul writes, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, I urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." Okay, now turn the page to chapter 9, and I want to pick up the reading in verse 6. Still 2 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 6. "The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution to them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. And so, Father, we do give you thanks for the grace of giving. And I pray, Father, that as we consider your word this morning, as we look even at your character and your nature, that you would embed that nature into our hearts and our minds. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. As I was preparing for this lesson, I was surprised at the relative dearth of information on the subject of giving. Word of the day, by the way, dearth, okay? There's just not a lot of it. Not a lot of information on giving. What I mean is, I have, in the past, I've subscribed to a number of Brotherhood publications, and so I've got back issues that go back for a few years. People have given me back issues of Brotherhood publications. I went through all the stuff that I have, and I struggled to find even one monthly publication, or even one article from one of these Brotherhood publications devoted to the subject of giving. It's kind of interesting. It may be out there, I just don't have it, but I was kind of surprised by that. So we also have lectureships around the country at different Christian colleges, different locations, things like that. So what happens is, once that material has been presented, it's usually put together in a book form. And I've had access to a number of lectureship volumes. And so I went through as many as I could, trying to see, has there ever been a lectureship on giving? What I found was Hattip Abilene Bible Lectures, but a great product of Abilene, right? At the Abilene Bible Lectures, I did find a keynote that was devoted to giving, given in 1935 by Brother R.B. Sweet. And even then, once I started reading through what he had presented in his keynote, it was mostly on the mechanics and the logistics of giving, the when and the how and the what and all of that. We're not really talking, writing about giving. And what surprised me is, we don't really talk about the why of giving. Why do we give? Which I think that should be a vital component, right? Simon Sinek, he wrote the book, Start With Why. And then the how and the what's going to fall into place. It seems like that should be one of our main focuses, is on the why of giving. Because if we understand the why, and what I mean is, if we understand the God whom we serve and His nature, I believe that will enhance our giving. It's kind of like, suppose you went and you were hired by a company, and they had a very, very good compensation package for you, but you notice that for every dime and every dollar that you make, 10% of what they were going to pay you is taken out of that check. There's no explanation as to why. Now, maybe the secretary comes in and explains to you the logistics of it. Well, you know, it's going to be on the first day of each month. We're going to auto-draft it from your account and all that. But they never really explain why they're taking that money from you. And that's a scenario that can breed resentment, right? Discontentment. I mean, after all, hey, that's my money. What are they doing with my money, right? Now, think about that same scenario, but let's just tweak it a little bit. Same thing, hired by the same company, same compensation package, same thing's going to happen. 10% of your paycheck is going to be taken. Every dime, every dollar. But this time, you get to sit down with the boss of the company. Sit down with the boss, and he begins to explain to you, look, you know, I know we take 10% of your checkout, but let me explain to you why we do that. You know, I have a heart for children around the world who don't have enough food on their plate. And so that money, every dime and every dollar of that 10% that we take from your check, that goes to people overseas to feed them, children. And maybe he brings out a book and he starts flipping through and he's like, hey, here's little Marta over in Colombia, and she gets to eat every night because my employees, I take that money. And all of a sudden, the scenario is different. Never mind the legalities. You're probably already thinking, like, whoa, is that even legal? You know, it doesn't matter, okay? It's just an illustration. Don't hijack it. But think about it. Maybe he sits down and he explains it to you. That kind of scenario can breed generosity, right? It's like, man, not just 10%. I can bump it up to 12, 15% if you'd like, right? Because when you understand the why of something, the how and the what typically can fall into place relatively easily. I believe it's the same thing for us when it comes to our theology of giving and why we give. I just want to reintroduce us to the God to whom we give. And what we're going to find is, you know, God, He invites us. He invites Christians to share in His nature. And one way we get to share in His nature is by giving. So how do we share in God's nature through giving? Well, that's what's revealed in several texts in the New Testament. Why do we give? Well, one of the reasons we give is because we serve a giving God. Our God is a God who gives, isn't He? Golden text of the Bible, John 3, verse 16. You know it, don't you? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only unique Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're introduced in that verse to the God who gives. He gave His Son. Now, where did that giving action from God come from? It came from His love. God so loved the world, He gave His Son. So it's out of His heart of love that God gives. God the Father gave the Son. God gives. But it doesn't just stop there. We can go from God the Father to God the Son. Look at the book of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Actually, we'll back up into verse 3 and get a bit of the context, see who he's talking about here. Galatians 1, you know, we typically read right past the introductory verses of epistles. You know, it's usually, hey, this is Paul, I'm writing to you guys, grace to you and all that. Don't read past those things because sometimes they're very substantial. Well, they're typically very substantial in what they communicate. And this is an example of this. The opening verses of this epistle, notice what Paul says here in Galatians 1, verses 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. You notice it's the Lord Jesus Christ who gave Himself for our sins. He delivers us when He gives Himself. The Son, He freely gave Himself to deliver us from sins, your sins and mine. He, of course, was sinless. He gives Himself, the Son, Christ, He gave Himself. God the Son gave Himself. God gives. And then the Holy Spirit also, He, the third person of the Godhead, He gives as well. If you look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, we see that the Holy Spirit, He gives revelation. He gave us the revealed will of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, the Bible says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." It's the Spirit who has given those things. It's the Spirit who helps us to see those things as well. You see, the Spirit, He freely gave these things. God, the Holy Spirit. And even then, think about it this way also. God the Father sends the Son. The Son comes. He dies on the cross, but then He goes back. And He made some promises, didn't He? He not only gave Himself, He says, I got to go back. I'm going to give you guys the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, He is willing to be given to us. When you look at the gospel, at the heart of the gospel is the giving nature of God. He's God, the God who gives. Yes, God gives. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The whole Godhead is a giving community. And there is a connection between that heavenly community and the earthly community. There's a connection between the Godhead and the church. That's what I'm saying. And that is, we as the church of Christ, as Christ's church, we are imaging that relationship of the Godhead. That is to say, we are a giving community. Just as the Godhead is a giving community, so also we are a giving community. And when we are imaging that, we're essentially imaging the community in heaven. Everything about the Godhead, it is focused on giving. He gives grace, He gives mercy, He gives all these things. And so at the heart of the gospel is our God who gives. And so, since we are to image that divine community here on earth, we give because we are a giving community as well. The church gives. After all, we're the community that God gave His Son for. And so we, in order to partake in that nature, and we'll talk about this more in a moment, but we ourselves need to be a giving community. And so, it's no wonder that Paul will write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And he'll talk somewhat briefly about the collection of the saints, 1 Corinthians 16. I want us to notice especially verse 2, where Paul says, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. We are to give, Christians are to give, as they have been prospered. That is to say, God gave the Corinthians the ability to bring in an income. That hasn't gone away. God enables us to earn a living, to bring in an income. That's the part of as you have prospered. Or maybe you've worked your whole life and now the Lord, having given you the ability to gain that income throughout your career, now you, in retirement, you have, out of that portion, you have a bit to give as well. It's as you have prospered. But then it doesn't just stop there, because as we read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, we read how the Macedonian congregation, they gave according to their means. That seems to be the language of as they were prospered. But then Paul goes even further. He says, and as I can testify, beyond their means. The Macedonian Christians, they gave sacrificially. They gave till it hurt. That's what Paul is saying there in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 3. The Macedonians, they sat down just like the Corinthians and they determined, I want to give this much. And the Macedonians said, yeah, I'll give that much and even more. And just as they determined that, so also we must determine ourselves, what are we going to give? We read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, how if someone is gifted with the ability to give to contribute. Romans 12 and verse 8, Paul says, to the one who contributes, do it in generosity. We may think, well, you know, okay, fine, we give generously or liberally, your translation may say. I understand, fine, but maybe it's not my gift. Well, the Macedonians show us you don't get to use that excuse. As we're part of the church, part of this giving community, we all contribute to the needs of others. The Macedonians, when they heard that there were some Christians who were hurting over in Jerusalem, man, how much, it's not how much can I give, how much can I keep for myself so I can help them? They had an attitude that it's not just what do I need to get by. They were like, even what I need, I'm willing to put that in the plate, as it were. The Macedonians had this attitude that, man, if I have to fast, I'll fast if it means one of my brothers, my sisters, has enough on their plate. I mean, think about that. Think about that attitude that the Macedonians had. By faith, they were willing to give beyond their means. Paul talks about how they gave out of their extreme poverty. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 2. They were poor to begin with. And then they said, I'll give beyond my means if it means helping my brother or my sister. That kind of giving, that's generous giving, it's sacrificial giving. The reason they were able to do that is because of verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 8. Did you catch this when we read through it? And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. See, these brothers and sisters in Macedonia, they were following the example of Jesus. We're going to talk about that example more in a moment because we're going to read verse 9 again. But the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, He gave Himself. And so these Christians were like, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. I got to give myself. They were fully devoted to the Lord. And so giving sacrificial, that was just normal for them. They understood that's the normal Christian life is to give sacrifice. This is typical. This is what we do because we serve a Lord who did that. I read a story about one Sunday at a specific church, they were giving, engaged in passing the plates, you know, and the plate came down one of the rows and it came to a little girl, and the little girl, she put that collection plate on the ground and then she stood in it. The guy who was passing the plate, he says, honey, what are you doing? And she says, well, it's because I learned in Bible class that my whole body is supposed to be given to the Lord. She got it, right? The point was she got it. And that's, we're living sacrifices. We are living sacrifices. Now, the problem is, of course, when we step out of the plate, as it were. The problem is when living sacrifices crawl off of the altar. When we forget whose we are, we tend to forget whose money is in our wallets or our bank accounts. We forget whose house we live in or whose car we're driving, whose food is in our fridge and pantry, whose clothes are on our back. Whose stuff is it anyway? They gave themselves. It's a shift in perspective. It's a shift in thinking. I am mine no more. I think we sing a song like that sometimes. They gave themselves, they gave generously, sacrificially, and they gave as God had prospered them, and even beyond that. The last thing I want to mention is that we give because when we give, we share in the nature of God. We share in His essential characteristics. We understand God is love. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And so when we give, we participate in God's love. We come to identify with the love of God. And so when we give, that giving must be rooted in love. That seems to be what Paul was talking about when we read about how God loves a cheerful giver. We're not tight-fisting this thing as we let go of it from our death grip. Rather, we, out of love, from a heart of love, we are willing to give. It's because God loved the world that He gave, and so we also must love the brethren. We must love the lost. And it's out of that love for the brothers or out of that love for the lost that we give. That's how we come to share in the love of God. His love begins to manifest in us. It shows up as our thinking and our mindset begins to change. One of the things Jesus said in the Gospels, John 14, verse 15, He says, "If you love Me, you'll keep My commandments." So obedience to this, and specifically in the means of giving, when we obey and we give cheerfully, we show, we manifest the love that we have for Christ. So we come to share, participate in the love of God, but we also can come to share in His grace. We participate in God's grace. It was the last verse that we read earlier, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, where Paul says, "Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift." That word there for gift, another way that can be translated, probably perhaps should be translated, is grace. In fact, he just talked about the surpassing grace of God upon you in verse 14. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible grace. Grace that we can't define, that we can't describe in human terms. Grace that is immeasurable. God is immeasurably rich in grace. And then He invites us to come along and participate in that. How? The context for that is giving. When we give, when we contribute, that's how we come to participate in the grace of God. When we participate in the grace of giving, we come to know the grace of God. This is a spiritual discipline which has a shaping effect. We are changed. We are shaped. We are transformed when we give because we've come in contact with the grace of God. We've come to participate in and share in His grace, and that enables us to grow in His grace. And then the last bit here is, again, we circle back to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, where Paul gets right down to the theology, the Christology, whatever, however you want to say that, he gets right down to the core of this. Giving is a divine activity, and when we give, we share even in the very nature of God, because he comes back to the Lord Jesus Christ here, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you by His poverty might become rich." We come to identify with the God who gives when we give, because we come to identify with Christ. He was rich, rich beyond measure, second person of the Godhead with all the privileges and prerogatives that go along with that. And then He empties Himself, leaves the splendor of heaven, comes and puts on flesh to dwell among us, and became poor, so that we, through His poverty, might become rich. Rich with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. See, there's something about the nature of God. You cannot fully identify with the nature of God if you never give or you don't give as you ought. There's something about God that can only be known through sacrificial giving. That's what the gospel shows us. You want to know the gospel and you want to get at the heart of the gospel, learn how to give sacrificially. You know, when we share in His nature, that's when we realize that He's the God of riches. That, well, as He says, and we read earlier in 9 verses 8 and verse 11, that God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, notice the superlative language here, all, every, right? You may abound in every good work. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. God Himself even invites us. He says, put me to the test. Remember this in Malachi chapter 3? Malachi chapter 3 is where God essentially tells His people, you're robbing from Me. Because you're not actually bringing the full offering, you're robbing from me. Will a man rob God? But it's in that context, 3 verse 10 of Malachi, that he says, look, put me to the test. Come, bring the full offering. Put me to the test and see if I will not open the store windows of heaven and just pour it out upon you. I heard someone put it this way, that when it comes to our resources, we shovel it out. God shovels it back in. And it just so happens he's got a bigger shovel than we do. As I said earlier, understanding the God that we serve, I believe that will enhance our giving. The temptation, of course, this is kind of the joke among preachers, right? Is that, you know, you preach on giving one Sunday and the contribution goes up the next, and then after that it kind of goes back in the tank or whatever, I don't know, right? I hope not. That's why I didn't preach this before we passed the plates. Because I do want you to think about this. Actually, I believe God wants you to think about it. To soberly examine your giving habits. You know, giving is about more than just meeting or exceeding budgets. It's more than the numbers on the back of your bulletin, right? Giving is about meeting and exceeding our need for relationship with God. We do need a relationship with God. And it's through giving that we can come to identify with His nature. It's through giving that we come to identify with the divine community here on earth. But also we identify with the heavenly divine community, the Godhead. It's where we participate together in imaging and reflecting the nature of God. God gave. God gives. And therefore, in like manner, we give. So let us pray. O gracious and glorious giver, you continue to bless us in ways that we cannot even imagine. And then you bless us in those tangible ways that we see day in and day out. With the daily grind of work, but also the collection of that paycheck for the work we've done, for the work that we have performed in the past. I pray, Father, that through your word and the transforming effect of your Spirit, you would help us to see our resources as you see them. And then that we would come to identify with your nature when we give those things back to you. In obedience, yes, but willingly. From a happy and sincere heart. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.